So sore. I don't know why.
Hello, hello.
How's this lighting look now that I've changed rooms?
It's throwing me off because it's complete opposite. Normally, your light and everything is to your left. Now it's to your right.
Do you want me to put it over here so you're happier?
No, it's okay.
Well, the thing that I was just like running into is like, dude, we kept on doing this and like I would be blown out from the back and the guys were just getting upset.
There's a sound clip.
What's that?
Never mind. Go ahead.
What is it?
You said I'm getting blown out
from the back. Yeah. From the light. That was a good homosexual reference. I like that. Good old joke. Yo, Paper Street, dude. When are you gonna start hooking us up with some coffee? Dude, Paper Street coffee. I had to grind up some different beans this morning, dude. I was pretty upset. These aren't your beans in this cup. You're sus, bro. That's the reality of the situation. Nick Hoyer always showing up for us. A total local lad boy. Legend. A total lover and believer in our experience. And then you've got Paper Street Coffee, who is basically leaving us high and dry. We've got two amazing men here taking on the world, supporting the local community, and we're high on other supply. So just going to say Paper Street.
High on the Paper Street supply.
Yeah. Dude, so there's a hurricane going on right now, and I'll show you this video. This is how crazy it's getting. There is a bridge down at my friend's house that's probably, I don't know, 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Like 10 feet off the ground, meaning like when you're driving over it, the riverbed's 10 feet below.
Yeah.
Check this out. So we're going to go do this in a little bit, but.
You're going to go do kayaking rapids?
Can you see this? That's the bridge, dude. The water is coming over the bridge.
Yeah, it's buttoned up to it. Holy hell.
So that's a 10-foot surge in water.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. And that bridge might not be there in the morning. Like, it's got to be. That river's got to be higher than it was before because, I mean, dude, at this point, it's been raining so much. Like, if I opened up that window shade behind me, it is sheets of water coming down.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude. And so last year around this time.
Who shot that video?
You know Eddie Ift, my buddy who's the comedian? Mm-mm. We do a show sometimes. It's called Wadcast Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so, man, it's fucked.
I didn't know if that was a news station or he was out there shooting that video.
Barry Swan. Don't know if it's a dude or a chick. Hoping it's a chick.
Barry.
Yeah, dude, shit is getting nasty. I don't know what the hell is going on right now with the world because, like, is like all this global warming stuff really going on? Because I've lived here for 11, now 12 years. We've never had rain like this. So,
or in sheets, normally it's like y'all are in a drought all the time, and it's cause of concern for forest fires on like a daily basis. And you got, instead of like, hey, don't go out into the water because of riptides and stuff, you have like, don't light fires, you know, on high alert for forest fire time right now.
Dude, it's like,
those are the signs on the hiking trails.
So you've been up here, dude. That road of mine might not be here in the next like 2 days. Like there is a slight chance that our road is going to collapse. No joke.
On the road leading like on the cutoff to where you make all the windy stuff or the road leading up to the side road where you.
So like our main road's Latigo. That's the one that comes off of like the ocean. You come all the way up and then you turn right up our road, which is called Baller Mountain Road. And that one might be gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to have to buy a helicopter.
Yeah, basically. Who's ready? Who's ready for this shit?
You have to buy one.
Yeah, dude. So let's see what we got in the notes here. Obviously, there's a hurricane going on. Hoodies, guys, are going live, I believe, tomorrow. So we're going to ship internationally. When I say internationally, we're going to be shipping over to the UK and Europe. And I'm just letting people know that it's going to be at a premium price because we have to ship these things all over the world. Like we're doing our best. I'm not going to be sitting here rubbing my hands together with buckets full of cash, but you guys will have nice hoodies on. I wore mine specifically
today. To break even.
Yeah, and they're cozy as fuck. They're amazing. If Caleb's in here, he's basically been living in his for days at a time. Ryan's going to get his soon. Like, we've been busting our ass. Hey, Paul Coop, would you mind explaining to us why people live in Phoenix? Because I don't get it. I mean, I've been to Phoenix several times, and besides the fact that there's hot chicks everywhere, which doesn't make sense to me, why would anybody live in the desert, first of all? Second of all, the heat? Like, what is going on out there?
It's a dry heat. It's better.
But it's unnecessarily. It's unnecessary. Like, I went out there.
Because I've been there. One of my buddies went to Arizona. He's a long snapper. But I don't think we went in February because it was like around the Martin Luther King Day. And you know, in college and everything, you got that Monday off. So we made a long 27-hour drive there and back all within that weekend. And when we were there in February, or maybe it was January, when we were there, like, it didn't seem that crazy hot, but I'm imagining I went during the wrong time and had the wrong view.
You went in February. Yeah. That'd be like saying that it's not that cold in Alaska in the summertime. Like, it's obviously like you're going in the most mild like time ever. And I get it, like those months, but I don't understand. Like, it is this vortex for smoking hot chicks. Like, when I was growing up, I used to Google, everyone's like, where do I go to college to get the best education? I was like, where are the hottest chicks? And all of the rankings pointed out the Arizona colleges.
Arizona, huh?
And like, you get there, my buddy Tyler, the one who was the Apache pilot, he lived there. So I would go out and visit him all the time. And I was just miserable. I was like, I can't go running. I can't, like, when we're inside, I feel like we're outside still cooking. And there's just so many people living there. Like, honestly, I don't even know what the resource is. Like, if one bad thing were to happen.
Are the taxes so low there?
I don't know. Paul, what's the deal with the taxes, brother? I got word that Hydro is coming to Phoenix in the next season. Yeah. Yeah. The hottest chicks are definitely not in Tallahassee. I've been hanging out with the Bar Talk girls a lot recently, and I just bag on Tallahassee all the time. It's more like Tallahassee. Like, who wants to see Tallahassee?
Tallahassee.
Zero.
Why would you go there?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I'm a hater on pretty much everywhere. California, admittedly, is not the best place, but it's the best place for me at this point. So I had this crazy experience this weekend, and I probably can't get into like all the details, but yeah,
let's go high level.
High level.
High level helicopter view.
I wonder 10,000
foot view.
I'm sure no one's going to really, like, sponsors aren't going to give me shit about this, but if sponsors want to drop me because of this, I don't give a shit. So you guys may or may not know that I dabble with mushrooms and things like that, and I've always liked it a lot. It's always just been this thing where I've, like, it's really enhanced my life. Like, I've done a lot of drugs, so much so that I had to go to rehab, and I've overdosed. And this is the only drug that I've ever had that hasn't had like a negative attachment. It hasn't had this negative relation with outcomes, meaning like I got drunk and I got in a fight, or I did cocaine and I started going to some kind of sexual craze rampage. I started doing heroin and like my life was just falling apart. Like, you take mushrooms, at least for me, and I was like, whoa, the world's so special.
Kind of mellow. Are we talking like micro dosing, the mushroom bags that they have online that you can, or breeze that you can send out to 46 different states now, and it kind of gives you a euphoric type of feel if you drink one can?
No. I'm talking about like real doses of mushrooms. It'd be like the difference between like a beer can and a six pack. Like, I'm in the six pack range, actually start to get the feeling of it all. Now, okay. I've done the 30 pack range where I've had so much. And those are trippy as fuck. But I've always just kind of used it. No hangovers, always kind of lightens my load mentally. And I've just really had a great relationship with it for a long time. We know this guy who's a shaman. And ooh. When I say shaman, like, it's difficult to really use that word for me because there's a lot of charlatans out there. Like, there's all these people that are like, hey, man, like, I hold ceremonies and stuff, and I'll hold safe space for you and help you, like, kind of, like, go through to the other side. There's so many charlatans out there. Like, just truly people who might as well just be a drug dealer who wants to get a little bit of extra money off of you by getting you to pay them to get high with them rather than doing it on your own. Now, this guy, I've worked with him several times through other projects, and I've gotten to know him, and I've gotten to trust him and appreciate him. I was like, you know what? I really do want to do this with you. And I have such a bad taste in my mouth about it because I've experienced them before and I've recognized and gone into these rooms and for the ceremonies. And I was like, oh my God, like this is the most disorganized, messy thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And wait, are you talking about ayahuasca? Like you did an ayahuasca trip, not mushrooms. I've done ayahuasca before,
but this one was a mushroom one.
Okay.
So I did the ayahuasca one and it was like so disorganized and it was like there was no real like – there was nobody really kind of – the shaman there was not really taking care of anybody or educating anybody or anything. It was just a bunch of high people in a room losing their shit, and I could tell that. So I was like, I'm not doing this stuff anymore. This is way too crazy. And so I go on to invite this guy over to my house with a couple of my very close friends. So there's only three of us – four of us taking on the ceremony with this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know – I thought we were just going to get like high and he was just going to give me like a beautiful experience and that was it. And I was ready for it. I was like, you know what? I need this in my life. I just like, I want to have something a little bit more than I'm used to. We go on, we get into it.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, dude, I get into it and you know, first 2 hours I was mellow. I was like, hey, I need more. Boom. We go up higher. Next thing you know, I'm in the middle of it and I'm like, and I'm pretty boosted at this point. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm fine. Then it like, we've been in it for like 4.5 hours and it's time to kind of get up and like move around a little bit. And you have eye masks on and everything. And there's a whole musical experience and he's taking you through a ride of basically this integration of music and like different, like just, we do breath work in the beginning. We go into this music experience. And then at the end, we have to have this like exit integration of everything we've been experiencing to get back into the real world. So we get up and I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I'm a little bit high still, but I'm fine. And then next thing you know, he starts talking to me and he's like, so like, yeah, he's like, I was watching you in there. You were kind of like really going through it. And I was like, yeah. He's like, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, dude, there's just this, this, and this. And like, it's just a lot for me. And he's like, you know what you have to do. I'm like, what? And he's like, you know what you have to do, right? And I was like, yeah, I do, but this and that. And he's like, no, you know what you have to do. And I was like, like, it like hit me. And I was like, I have to go sit down. I go back into the room and I tear off like all of my clothes, tear out the earrings out of my ear, all of my clothes. And I am just like writhing around like a serpent. And like, this is where it starts to happen. And he then all of a sudden like swoops in and like grabs me and like cradles me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, where are you right now? And I was like, what? He's like, where are you right now? And it was as if someone unplugged the cords in my head and then put like a line of a projector that had been like basically covered over this entire time, a projector that was basically projecting out into my entire world. And I didn't know it was back there. And he just pulled back.
And then you revealed the curtain. You revealed the scrim.
Yeah. And he was like, I immediately saw this moment. I immediately saw this moment and I was like, what the fuck? And I told him exactly where I was and what was going on.
And had you been there before? Was this a new scene that you'd never been to? Or that this
no,
was
this is a moment and this is a moment in time in my life that had like a very, very heavy impact on me and that I had just like completely pushed to the side.
You kind of buried it. Or like push the emotions aside to where he's like, you almost forgot about that. This type of thing happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%, dude.
Come back.
Who's you?
Yeah, we're back.
Are we there, dude? Okay. You there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Dude, this the storm just is fucking everything up. I knew this was going to kind of happen. So,
you're in the scene. You suppress his memory. Now it's stopped. It's on the forefront right now.
Yep. And he's sitting there and he's like, I tell him it and he's like, that's really hard, isn't it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, how did that make you feel? And I was like, and he just kept on pulling it out of me. And I was just like, and just pulling it out. And dude, I'm big ass badass hunter is being held and cradled. Held and cradled and by an adult man. And it doesn't feel fake at all. It doesn't feel forced at all, nothing. And he is just pulling me out. He's asking more questions. He's pulling it out. And now all of a sudden, like all of these slides of these points in time in my life that have created all this like blockage and all this like tension and everything, like all these boulders that have just been sitting on my back for years, he just starts pulling them up. And it was like, what the fuck? And I was leveled. And I'm talking about like, I thought it was over. And then he brought me back into the depths for like 2 hours.
Mm.
And so much so that like my other friend had to come over and hold me. And I was just like, whoa. And dude, by the end of the whole thing, I was so rocked. Like, devastated. But at the same time, I'd like never seen the world. I hadn't been seeing the world the way that it really was because of all this stuff that I was holding on to. And I never probably would have gone there. And I've like had to go to therapy because of all my medication and all the rehab and stuff. And I've worked with coaches and mindset coaches and therapists independently as an adult for years on end too. And not one person in my entire life has even come close to having any of these conversations with me. And this happened over like a 6 hour period. And truly the depth of it happened over a 2 hour period. And by the end of it, I was just like
a revelation. Like you were hiding it. You saw it from another point of view and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that that was going on. And now I've learned from this, or is just more bringing it back up. And like, Mal, I now have the maturity to deal with this at this point in my life.
No, I mean, the best way I can explain is that I was taken back to about 3 to 5 periods of time in my life. And I was shown these moments. I was meant to come back to these moments, see these moments, relive these moments with him, and then start to take them apart. Rather than just them being moments, but like, what is this moment? Like, we're going to start to pull this apart so you can see what really happened here. Why did this happen to you? Why? How did this affect you? And where has it been taking you and pushing you since that moment?
So this was kind of like a Ghost of Christmas past, present, and future type of thing.
Yeah, dude. It was unbelievable. Wow. I have never in my entire lifetime experienced anything like that. And I can see 100% how so many places that I've been, like every single action and every single moment in conversation, how this has just been this projector of that moment onto these conversations without me even knowing. Like someone does something and all of a sudden it triggers through that moment and that lens and I go back to that moment. And I'm not even noticing it. Like I'm just sucked into it and pushed back into the moment I'm in currently. Sucked into it, pushed back into the moment I'm in currently. And I was like, oh my God. And now I was reliving all these moments of like current life and seeing who I am right now, living through the lens of this little boy that got hurt. And I was like, whoa. It fucking rocked me. And the next day,
how far back did you, are we talking preteen hunter, like teenager hunter?
This is like 25 years ago, dude.
Wow. Okay.
This is like 25 years of time, probably like 20 years ago. I'm there about 5 years ago. And it's like all of these timestamps.
Yeah.
And how it's just created almost like an infection or a fungus that has just been festering on top of my life. And I was devastated. Like, I cannot even begin to tell you. And I was around people that I know very, very well, and I was so scared to talk about it. I was scared. And I was just like, oh my God. And I can honestly say, like, every single experience that I've had with these kind of things combined, I would throw away just to have this moment. I would let go of all of it. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, I will have to likely go back and work with this guy again. I know I have to. It's not likely. It's I know I have to, because you can't just, like, what I did now was I just, like, opened the door and, yeah, like, slightly stepped out of the place, the cave that I've been hiding in for a long time. And now I have to understand, like, what it is like to really live knowing what I know now. And, like, it was really beautiful. I woke up the next day, and rather than, like, attacking the world like I normally do, I just went out and grabbed the keys to my car and went for a 2-hour drive. And I haven't done that in such a long time. Like, I was living rather than attacking, which I normally do. I see everything and I attack. And I don't think I'm going to lose that part of me that has so much energy, but I've been living in this, like, attack-based attitude. And holy shit, was it crazy.
Damn, son. Story hour. We should have called this story hour instead of update show.
I was not, I was not expecting it. I just wasn't.
Do you think you could turn one of these things that just happened to, like, a cartoon TV show?
No. No. Nobody wants to see that. That shit. But damn, man. I honestly didn't know people like this existed. Like, you hear about it, and, like, I've met a lot of people that said they've gone through things like this, and then I've, like, somewhat encountered the people that are facilitating things like this, and you just know when you get there, you're like, this ain't it.
Yeah, don't seem real.
This ain't it. It's almost like it's like the difference between weed and oregano. Like, you're getting sold a fake bag of weed, and, like, you're like, yeah.
Flour in the powder bag.
Yeah, exactly. And the things he also told us about the stuff that he had been studying and the places that he had gone, like, you would not believe anything he'd said unless you had just done what we had just done. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, my God. So, yeah, at this point, I need some time.
You need to decompress a weekend from the weekend.
I know.
Good news is that little gold drink that you're drinking right there, we are within the 1 to 4 day window of delivery time to our warehouse.
Thank God. Yeah,
it's on a truck right now.
It's pretty insane how literally so much stuff happens in such short period of times. You're just, like, on these peaks and valleys. Like, mm-hmm. We were in a valley before Black Friday. Then we were on a peak after Black Friday. Then we were back in a valley. We've got no fucking product. Ah, oh, how do we get it? And now we're back up on a peak again. And I'm hoping we stay on a plateau.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we
just, let's keep it even keel, man.
In reality, I'm going to really say that we're an 18-month-old business for supplements. Like, the first year that we had this thing was just really just a bunch of containers in a room, and we were, like, licking labels and mailing it out to people.
Dude, I was there in March trying to – I dropped you off wherever on your run, and I was taking the rest of the stuff to be shipped out via USPS store.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
And licking bags.
And now we are literally selling thousands of products around the world every single month. Like, it's freaking crazy. It is crazy to think that it used to be like a couple a day, a couple every other day. Yeah. You know, it's now become this monster. And you just don't know until you know. Like, it just hits, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, like, I need to be a different person to hand this kind of load. And I'm so glad that people, like, I'm getting messages all the time. When is it coming back? When is it coming back? To know that there's people that are actually in love with this stuff makes me so happy. I laugh about it often because I was the one who had all the product while everyone was suffering. I had a bunch at my house. Oh, dude. So another thing that we're going to start doing, guys, is we're going to be shipping out the pink water bottles. Like, we're finally ready to start shipping those around to everybody. And that's going to be dope. So pretty excited. Those things will be, you know, I think they're amazing. I can go get some if you guys haven't seen them before, but at least they're going to ship around the United States. And it's one of these kind of things where I got the bottles and I was like, it would be so nice to just see someone biking by and see that bright pink bottle that says stay thirsty and just know that, like, you know, our brand is basically floating all over the place. It'd be such a, it's a beacon of light. And now, dude, I am seeing people biking around LA with our stay thirsty pink water bottles.
Good. Yeah.
Hell yeah. What have you been up to, dude?
I compared to that experience, I had a very mellow weekend. I enjoyed some St. Joe, Michigan, and watching with Jen, and I drove up there and we did we watched some people carve, you know, with chainsaws and stuff, like molded big ice blocks into these epic type of sculptures.
Where's St. John's, Michigan?
St. Joseph.
Where is
that? Up by Benton Harbor. I don't know the surrounding areas. I mean, it's St. Joseph, Michigan. Miller, not Miller Beach. There's like Harbor Beach or something. St. Alex would probably know. St. Joseph, Michigan. Joseph. I don't know. Somewhere up there. It was nice.
How many people
walked around? It's a small little town. Benton Harbor, I guess, is the bigger of the area. Kalamazoo is, so there's like St. Joseph. Yes, South Haven, and then if we go east, you're hitting Kalamazoo.
So if you had to, if you had to, like, really pick, are you going to be like an Indiana guy for the rest of your life?
I mean, compared to having massive crazy floods, we have cold and gray right now, but my house isn't being pushed away by floods. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice little city.
Crown Point?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever been to Indiana.
I think it would be too boring for you. If you go to Indiana, you got to go to like Indianapolis for like one of the Indy 500 races.
I would love that. Look, we got another girl in here.
Indy Mini, like, you run on the racetrack. That's pretty cool. You do one lap, which is about 1.5 laps, which is, you get like 3 miles out of it, 4 miles. Running on the, like, official
one lap
track.
Just four miles?
Well, I think it's two. So, but where you enter and you go down through the pit area, and then you're running on the inside track area.
Damn.
And then you run over like the brick, like the brick, original brick that's on the starting line or finish line.
Yeah. I had no clue.
Silver Beach. Yeah. Silver Beach.
Dude, we have another girl in here, Jamie. This is crazy. How many people were tuning in when I was telling that story?
Right now we're maxed out. We had 68. Now we're 72, 73.
Man, I had 70 people listen to me.
Rewind the tape 10 minutes.
Crying like a baby. I actually didn't like weep. I was more like just like there was just like water streaming from my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just was like dumping out of my face. I was just like,
what is going on?
It was really, really crazy. Dude, I'm actually home for the next 10 weeks. I may have to fly somewhere in February because there's a baby shower, which I think is fucking ridiculous, but I'll be a part of it. I'm going to attend. Nice. One of my best friends married my cousin. Now they're having babies. So,
where is that? Dude, a baby shower.
Connecticut. I probably will end up back in Connecticut at least 50% of the year by the time I'm like late 30s. like ideally everything works out financially where I'm able to get a home in Rhode Island or Connecticut and start spending my summers there. And then all of a sudden,
based on like your current age, wouldn't that be in like 2 years, 3 years? You're like mid-30s now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'll at least start spending summers there and like the holidays months there.
Yeah.
And by that time I'll have like a bride with me and she will come and we will fly and we'll like, you know, we'll set things up. We'll probably have the babes, the little children, the little chitlins. But like, that's my version of Crown Point. Connecticut is not Malibu. Yeah. You know, Rhode Island is not Malibu. It's a much simpler life and it's a lot more just settled. But you know, I'm happy about it. Like, I want to have my family be with my family, meaning here. So here's this guy. His name's Barlin Tender, fitness competitor. He runs a weekend men's retreat. Now, I don't know who this guy is, and he's probably going to take this the wrong way, but those are usually the people I avoid. Like somebody who hosts is a fitness competitor, but then also a shaman. And or
is
somebody
claiming to be a shaman, because this kind of sounds like what you eventually want to get into, which is like hosting the training camp.
Read up here. Reach out to me and I'll get you fit beyond your wildest dreams, brother.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand
a lot
that
of potential.
Part.
We all run from those things what we fear. Yeah, these are the kind of people that I avoid. But it's interesting. Like, you can tell when someone's trying to sell you something that they want something in return. Usually, like, this shaman guy will admit he never offered me anything. Like, you have to, like, go and find these shamans yourself. Anybody who's trying to sell you your shaman experiences often isn't a shaman. They're a salesman. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't imagine
If they're pitching you, it's hold on. If you're seeking them, you've heard about it through word of mouth, and you're like, all right, I know this guy.
Yeah. So, like, here we go again. Avoidance is a cancer. I just want to unlock every inner man's potential. Salesman. He probably is reading a book right now and flipping through the pages. He's like, I need something to say. And then he found the sentence and then he types it in. So I don't know this guy. So I'm not like trying to specifically insult him, but I do really think that if you ever are going to have an experience like this, you have to be in a position of seeking rather than a position of being sold. And that's the only way that you're probably going to truly integrate it. And I was in a position of seeking. I just didn't know what was going to happen when I got there. And that's why I think it was such a profound experience. But I particularly was trying to put this together. I was trying to put this together for a long time. And I knew of Paul, but it just seemed all aligned. And it's interesting. Like, it just came together in a perfect alignment. But like that, I don't know. I'm probably shitting on an industry that I don't entirely know about. But at least in my small knowledge of it, there are all of these people that are basically on like the outskirts before you can get into the temple. And they're trying to panhandle and sell you stuff. But your real goal is to get into the temple. Like, you want to get through all of the bullshit of all these people that are trying to sell you something of this false pretense or this charlatan type way of the, no, this is the answer. Or this is the answer. This is the answer. You got to work your way through those weeds. You got to work your way through all this bullshit. Like, I got sold. It's the guy's name is, I don't even remember. His company's called Mayhem Mindset. It's aligned with,
I remember that guy.
Yeah. And I got ripped off for $6,000. I mean, the guy knew nothing. The guy knew nothing. He was so bad at his job. And that's why I had such a hard time with him. I was like, dude,
there's no correspondence.
There's no correspondence. There's no,
like, look back through the email where he was talking. I was like, there's one. And that was when you signed up.
Yeah, dude, it was a really, really bad business. And like that, and I accept the fact that I had to pay that amount of money to learn for myself, to recognize that there are a lot of false prophets out there trying to push this stuff. And it was honestly one of the most important things for me. Like, I had to have that get bit by the dog to understand the power of a dog. And it took me a long time to even recover from that, being like, God dang. And by the time I found this guy, I was very casual about it. Like, I didn't charge him. I didn't beg for him. I just allowed it to keep on finding its way towards center, where all of a sudden this weekend lined up, and that's how it came to be.
Jamie, I think Jamie nailed it on the head. This guy? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to bash the guy. I mean, he's probably already in a doing it himself. But I actually have his book in the other room. It was a $6,000 book if anybody wants it. You could use it as a paperweight, or you could use it to light a fire. It's hard to understand. Man, this guy is still going at us. He's still writing all these messages of, I have experienced great loss. My loss is every man's gain.
These are key phrases.
This guy is literally pulling this out of a book and typing it in. I can sign it. I will sign that book for you guys, but understand that anybody who takes that takes the black shadow that it carries. Yeah. It is really interesting. Like, I think everybody should seek finding like one of these professors of knowledge and enlightenment, because in reality, like, why does it seem so normal to people to go get an education on sociology, engineering, all these things, invest all of their life into potential opportunities? Oh yeah, this guy is definitely a charlatan wad zombie. Why are people investing all of this money into this aspect of their life that potentially is going to give them this like rewarding career, but you don't have this rewarding understanding of just like your own personal life? And I never had looked at it like that. And I think I seeked it by trying to find these therapists and stuff like that. But by the time this happened, I think I will never look at the world the same ever again.
He just keeps going.
Yeah, I know. This actually might be Jim. This might be Jim with a second handle trying to sell people. Yeah. Man, this guy is really shit. We never should have started this podcast. Now this guy is going to be on all the time. Yeah, we should stop talking about that guy. Let's talk about what's coming up next. So training. Yeah, dude, I'm skipping out on, DC. Yes, I am sick of Hyrox. Yeah, Nail, I'm sick of Hyrox.
Wait, that's exactly what I thought you were going to go to DC to run against your favorite person.
Yeah, I thought about that, dude, and it's like my disdain for that person is not worth my time anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of what I just learned this weekend also. It's just not worth my time. I'm like owning anger rather than owning happiness. And I don't like the person, and I'm allowing that to own my time because I don't like him that much that I want to fly over there and stomp
on
his face.
Yeah, you're spending, you know, some money just to stick it.
It's like, in reality, like anybody who at this point has watched me in Hyrox would have to be, you know, blind, deaf, and dumb to not know that, you know, we're worlds ahead of everybody else, and we have to stay on the path of staying in that really, really higher experience of chasing world titles and world records. And DC is just not part of the path. So I'm going to take the next 10 weeks to work with my coach and work on myself to really just own it.
Did he reply to, you know, you listed out, hey, here's the kind of things that were going on during my time when I was running. Here's where I think I could improve. Like, you know,
yeah, I actually have the notes right here. Let me take a piss and we'll talk about this. Everybody, pee break. Go, go, go.
Pee break. Hopefully we don't use. We have 72 viewers. Please stay here. So what's going on is Hunter is leaving to go to use the restroom. We want to give a big shout out to our sponsors here for Here to Party Sports. Builder, building better athletes, House Training, obviously our training company, and our non-alcoholic brewing sponsor, Go Brewing, located in Naperville, Indiana. No, excuse me, Naperville, Illinois. Wow. We had to do one with burpee broad jumps and Team Wad. Couldn't do one without screaming, Hyrox.
I just hosed that toilet down. That was great. Hunter needs a commercial. Hunter, did you ever? No, they ended up in the garbage.
Vindicated? Is that what that stands for? Did I get that right? Vindicate? Yeah. All right. We're talking about the notes that Hunter gave to his coach. Are these the reply notes, or these are just, hey, these are things that I'm looking out for while running?
Dude.
And my thought process on what we can improve when it comes time to the big day.
Yeah. Look at this, dude. He wrote me a 4-page thing.
Wow. Story time.
This guy's asking about Creapure. It's really interesting about this Creapure stuff. In reality, it is just a blend of creatine. It's their version of it. But in reality, guys, you're not going to find such an advanced version of creatine with Creapure, is my belief. And otherwise, we'd be using it. And it's one of these kind of things where it's a company. And companies are going to market and pitch you guys to say that theirs are better than everybody else's. That's just the reality. Now, is my company's creatine citrulline mix better than anybody else's? No, just isn't. I believe that my blend, which is 5 grams of creatine, 5 grams of citrulline, is the ideal blend on the market to have the best experience for fitness racing. It just is. Now, if you took 5 grams of creatine, 5 grams of citrulline on your own, you will get the same experience. I cannot promise you anything else. Okay? It's just the reality. And everybody else there on the market's trying to do the same thing. Our products specifically are blended to the exact size and volume per ingredient, per scoop, to give people the best response for the sports of like high rocks and CrossFit and fitness racing, even going into like the Ironman style stuff, like our hydration product. Having the mixture of BCAAs so that you don't get muscle breakdown, and having taurine so that you can hold sustained high heart rate. Like, all of these things are blends that I created knowing. But if you took all of these independent ingredients on their own, and nice, you break. I like you blocked.
I put them in
guy.
Timeout. Yeah.
Yeah. Byron, Braylon, you got to understand that your shit isn't allowed here, you creepy dude.
I mean, I'm all for like promoting your business, but then it gets to a point to where it's like, okay. Let's take a pause. Let's take a timeout.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, really glad that we hit that pee break. So, let's just look at the last, since September.
Yeah.
In September, in October, we ran doubles, and we did a really good result, but we missed the world record. Then all of a sudden, I went to London, and I ran with George, which was more of a PR thing. We had a really good result, but we didn't get any record. A week later, we went to Stockholm. We set the world record for individual. And then a couple weeks later, I tried to go set the world record again in doubles in LA. And then fast forward to just a week ago, where I went to Manchester and we set the world record for doubles pro in Manchester. Now, these are all really good results. Now, I want you guys to understand that what happened. I went from racing world championships into hiking on the Appalachian Trail for a couple weeks, losing a lot of weight because I got sick, then going into an Ironman block and then coming out of it. So where a couple years ago, I didn't do almost any cardio in the summer. I was just bodybuilding. I think the sustained endurance block of doing Ironmans really, really just cranked my fitness up. So I was able to go straight into Stockholm with this world record and just annihilate people. I beat my old record by like a minute and a half or something ridiculous. I don't know. It was high. It was 42 seconds. Sorry. Something like that. Then all of a sudden I started working with this new coach and he's like, we need to ramp your power up. Otherwise you're never going to get to that low 50 number because you're not going to be able to sustain power. You need power to have higher numbers. You have great fitness, but you need more power. Mm-hmm. So then we worked on power for like 8 weeks, and by the end of it, like I was so fucking strong. Like I was wrecking all the stations, moving faster than I ever have before. But that being said, I told my coach, I was like, I was out there, man, and I could not get into my sixth gear. Like the gear where I start to pull away on the running, I couldn't get there. And that's because we had been working so much on the oh my God, dude. Dude, look at this. This guy Braylon must have a cult following because he has all of these men now coming in here and contacting us. This is the kind of shit that you guys got to watch out for. This guy has a cult following, and now he's having all of his cult followers come in here and contact us.
Or the man's just got so much time on his hands.
Multiple accounts.
So many accounts.
Yeah, dude, Braylon, you could suck it. We're having a beautiful day, and then this dude who lives in a trailer park has been contacting us, trying to dupe men into coming into
come.
He's like the Pied Piper playing the little flute where all the mice come in. Yeah. So I told my coach, I was like, dude, I got to get this back up. Like, we had the agreement in the beginning of this thing that we needed to work on running. That was the only way that we were going to really get it. And I trusted you in the power thing, and we got power, but we got to go. And basically, we had this, like, he wrote this whole thing out, and we basically just, like, we hashed it out, dude. We had some like conversations of how to nail all this stuff down. He wrote me like a 4-page write-up.
What were some of the highlights in there?
You know, he admitted that his biggest mistake is that he should have explained himself better when we got into things and giving me like a good understanding of how I was going to feel in that race. Because normally I don't ever train like that. And I went to a race basically like with a different pair of shoes on, if you get what I'm trying to say. Like he had strapped me up into something that I had not been into before. And I had a weird feeling about it. I didn't like it.
You thought you were biting into a chocolate chip cookie and it was a raisin cookie.
Yeah, basically. And I get it. And, you know, he basically just said, like, listen, we have trained power. We've got power. And now we are going to start working on, like, that VO2 max stuff. And we basically have 9 weeks to get there, 10 weeks to get there. So a lot of what we're going to be doing is, like, threshold stuff, kind of like getting back into that ultimate engine style training, which is really necessary. It's like you have to run the engine at a certain temperature and certain speed. Otherwise, it's never going to get comfortable there. And like, if you get like a race car and you buy it brand new, you have to break it in for like 1500 miles and then get it tuned. Because what happens is like, if you try to hit the gas pedal and everything hasn't really kind of find itself after a while, just like warming itself up over thousands of miles, something can get out of misalignment and just bust. It can fuck the car up. And that's what we have to do. We need to be in this position for like 8 weeks of feeling it. Otherwise, we're going to try to get up to speed and something's going to bust. Meaning like, I'm not going to be able to hold it. My heart rate's going to crack. Whatever it is, something's going to fall apart. So that's why we're taking these next 8 weeks, 10 weeks to just really crank it and feel that burn, lose the weight. And, you know, from there, we should be in a really, really strong position. And I'm excited to just feel the burn again, dude. I want to feel the burn. I want to feel sick and scared, because that's what
it is. That point where your lungs are burning so much, you could taste blood in your saliva.
Yeah. When I was in Stockholm, I don't know if you've watched that video of me racing in Stockholm, but I'm running like this, like ripping into the air. And it was a lot. So I'm excited to see what happens. And I wrote down, I basically put a post-it note. I bulked up this weekend just because I took the week off and ate a lot. But I was down at 201 earlier this week. Now I'm up 207. I had like 3 pounds of beef and a bunch of pad thai last night. But I'm basically going to write down my weight every single day. I've got my diet basically. I'm going to be hitting 3,800 calories for 3 days in a row. And then I'm going to... let's see here. I'm going to hit a 5,000 calorie day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, here we go. So I get to have 3,800 calories 3 days in a row. And then on the fourth day, I get to have a 5,000 calorie day, like a refeed. So my breakdown is 200 grams of protein, 470 grams of carbs, 170 grams of fat on my days. And then on the hard days, 240 grams of protein, 560 grams of carbs, 200 grams of fat. And yeah, I'm going to rip into it.
So was the goal there to bulk up?
Dude, Braylon's back. How did he get back in?
Well, we had him in timeout. Okay. You're back from timeout. You're on one warning strike.
Dude, I don't think Braylon understands that people are making fun of him. Nicholas just said, I'm signed up for Braylon's weekend tour. We meet in
his mom's basement.
Saturday's my most Sunday. Oh no. Are you back?
I'm back.
Did you? You go, Don. What was that noise?
I mean, I can hear you. It was a reminder that we have a meeting in 10, but.
Fuck. What
you were kind of cutting in and out. Is with our shipping company in Ireland.
Shit.
We pushed it to today from Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm kind of good. I enjoy. Here's what's happened. We had, when we started this, like 5-10, and then when 5-10 people, when it was just us, then we'd have, you know, Coach Rich Diaz on, and we get up to 30 people, and then there'd just be people in the comments like talking about what we're talking about. Now it's spun off to, we have these viewers, and then there's like this own world and its own like kind of AIM, IM, chat, what was back in the day, like AIM, right? There's just ASL going on in the comments of like people just having their own conversations. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, well,
it's evolved.
I do enjoy the fact that like we're creating a community, and like, here's the thing, this space just keeps on getting bigger, and I just don't feel like there's a hub. There's a lot of like little story holes and things like that. And I really like the fact that we have a hub happening a couple times a week. And now there's like these little interpersonal relationships, as you said, which is dope.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really want to get the company up to the point where we can start having like our own independent events. Like we can have our own races. We can have
Speaking of that, GoRuck Games has announced they gave you a shout out for winning the last, you know, one of the last 2 years that they've ran it, but they are not coming back for a third season. Yeah, they did shout out, hey, here's three things that you can look forward to that may, you know, take the place of it that we'd recommend. And one of those was Battle Bunker.
Fuck yeah.
Sure.
Thing when I recognized that I won it the first year and I was like, that was super cool. But then I sat back and I said to myself, this isn't going to last. And everyone's like, yeah, it is. And I was like, dude, I've been in this space for too long and I can tell when something has only a couple more breaths left in it.
Did they just blow the budget? Like it was just crazy amount of money that they funded that. I mean, GoRuck is a huge brand though. That's what I didn't quite understand why they wouldn't be able to continue. I mean, it's not a startup brand.
They just became the title sponsor of CrossFit Games, which I think is a huge mistake. And because that's going to cost them so much money and they're never going to recoup that. It's my belief, unfortunately, with all the haters piled up against me, CrossFit is dying. It's like this big, beautiful elk that has like all of the horns. It's the biggest trophy animal in the space right now. But it got hit by an arrow a couple of years ago when they let go of Greg Glassman and the divergence of the two businesses, meaning like the movement methodology gym lifestyle brand versus the games started to separate at such a high level, and they had so many new CEOs. They've had like three or four CEOs come in. Basically, they had three or four CEOs come in, and it's just dying slowly. And then all of a sudden, Noble came in. They had to go. Now there's a GoRuck here. And I'm sad to say it because I really do love CrossFit. I'm one of the biggest fans. It's been a big part of my life for a long time. Jody over here probably owns an affiliate, and she's just busting out into tears because I'm giving her a reality check. But CrossFit had its heyday, just like all the big empires have, like Rome and Persia. And I'm reading about Genghis Khan right now. These people all had their time, and things come and go. They just do. And you just got to have this, level of acceptance. Don't be upset, accept. And you know, they're dying out, and it's not like people in the CrossFit community are all going to go out and buy themselves a backpack and start walking around in circles now. And I'll admit from my standpoint, I think Goruck's shoes suck really badly. And it's like, I told them that when they made it a while ago and they tried handing me a couple pairs. There's a couple pairs that are cool, but here's the thing, man. Like, if you're going to get into this game, you better be set up. Otherwise, you know, you'll just end up in a bad position. Like, I'll give you another example. Do you remember the shoe called Innovate?
What was the brand? Reebok?
It's called Innovate. No, it's a brand called Innovate.
Brand is Innovate. Okay.
They used to be the biggest shoes in CrossFit and the biggest shoes in OCR. And then they did not innovate. They just sat there with what they had and they just were like, we are the best. We stay right here. And they died.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't do that with the way that the world's going, you're just going to find yourself being left behind. And there's brands all around that are just being very, very smart about their integration of new styles, you know, new styles to support the basically the community's, you know, wants and needs. Like Hoka. Hoka didn't exist. And then all of a sudden they recognized that the community had wants and needs. Hoka is now like a real contender, kicking Nike in the nuts, Adidas in the nuts, mm-hmm. Puma in the nuts. I bet you Hoka does better in sales for actual running shoes than Puma. Guarantee it. Because they actually created a running shoe where Puma, like I'm a Puma runner. I have a couple pairs of Pumas that I really, really do like, but I think there was a chunk of time where Puma did not spend its time really investing in the running community and they started to kind of like go all over the place. And that's
when instead of finding your focus.
Well, I mean,
finding their focus.
I don't own the multi-billion-dollar brands. I'm just in the place of being in the running community, knowing that when you have a bunch of people that want to run at their best and you're not creating products to support that, you're going to lose. You really are. And this was all about Goruck. So yeah, I'm bummed that it's gone. I mean, I'm happy that it's gone because it gives Battle Bunker some more space to breathe, but I'm bummed that it's gone because I think it was a really good event.
Yeah.
So that being said, come over to Battle Bunker, guys. We'd love to have you. I think,
yeah, I think Austin just released the new format for qualifying this year, which sounds brutal, but you're going to get the best competitors by doing so.
It's meant to be a test. I mean, the thing is like, when everyone got to Battle Bunker, there were some really long and hard tests. So we need to test endurance. And to do three workouts over 90 minutes is a good way to test endurance. And it's going to be hard. Like, you have to be smart about how you spend your money at the beginning of the event so you have some money to spend at the end of the event. So there's a lot of aspects to this. Yeah. Braylon, I will pay for you to go and compete at one of our events. And I would love to just see how you do, buddy. And then I would love to just be fascinated by the grandeur of your experience of life. Guys, we have to go to a meeting. We actually have jobs. I'm sorry.
But we are going to be back on Wednesday.
Wednesday, Coach's Corner. Let's go.
Wednesday, Coach's Corner.
Let's go.
And then Friday.
Yep. All right, boys. All right, girls and all the boys. I love you guys. I miss you guys. Hugs and kisses from your boy. Let's roll, brother. I'll see you in a second, dude. Send me the link.
Howdy.